I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Today, once again, we're privileged to be able to study God's Word together. We live in a country where we can continue to study God's Word without fear of persecution. It may be coming, and I know that some people are being persecuted for it, but not to the extent that we have to fear for our lives. That we can join our hearts together and our minds, and we can read the Word of God together. As we look into the book of Romans, we are certainly privileged to be able to study this book that God has given us through the penning down of Paul the Apostle. Now, let me remind you that Paul wrote this letter about 55 or through 58 AD, and it was written when he was in the city of Corinth. And Paul had not yet visited the church of Rome. Now, he wanted to go there, and he prayed that God would make this visit possible. And we see this by looking into Romans chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, and chapter 15. And this book has been called by many the greatest doctrinal book in the New Testament. And this is the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. It was a letter that Paul had written to this church located in Rome. Now today we want to pick our study up by going to Romans chapter 8. And we want to start in verse 23. It says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." You remember last time we studied about the whole creation is groaning and waiting. The whole creation didn't choose to be under bondage, didn't choose what's happening, but because of Adam's sin, the whole world was placed into bondage. And one day, the whole creation is going to be delivered from this state of captivity. And Paul lets us know here that we also are eagerly waiting with determination for the time when our bodies will no longer be corrupted. In 1 Corinthians 15:42, it says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption." And then in 1 Corinthians 15:53 through 54, it says, "For this corruptible," let's talk about our bodies, "must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." This body will be changed and will die no more. The body will die, but we will be given a new body, and that body will never die. And we will be forever with our Lord and Savior. And we're waiting just as the whole creation is waiting to be delivered. But notice in verses 24 through 25 now, Paul says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Our bodies have not been saved, according to verse 23. Our bodies have not been changed yet, but we have hope. And this word hope means there is a certain expectancy. We have not been changed yet. We know because we are still travailing. We're still here, wrestling with and suffering because of sin. Hope is something in the future which has not been realized or received as yet, but it is absolutely certain. Because why? God has promised it. I've read the end of the book. I know what the book says. I know what's waiting for me. And I trust that you know today, as a child of God, what's waiting for you. Total redemption. Total deliverance from this body of sin. Now let's look at verses 26 and 27 of Romans chapter 8. It says there, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for, as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Well, I believe what Paul is saying here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is we have help with our lack of strength, our infirmities, now, because the Holy Spirit pleads for us through our intercessor, Jesus Christ. And what he asks for is in agreement or according to God's will. We sometimes think that we need to speak in some language that no human being can understand in order to have our thoughts and our prayers to go up to God. Well, let me say in all love that that is a waste. If you think that you can speak in an unknown language and get through to God. The Bible says plainly there that it's the Spirit that does the speaking. It's the Spirit that takes our prayers to the Lord. And I like to look at it like this. He is a divine person that he takes away all of the unnecessary words that we might speak, and he gets right to the heart of the matter, and he takes directly to our intercessor, Jesus Christ, who is our intercessor. He is Jesus Christ, our intercessor. The Spirit takes our requests to him, and then Jesus takes our requests to the Heavenly Father. And it's through his will that these requests are answered. We need to be praying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And as we also look in these verses, we think that, once again, that we are simple people. We are in the flesh, and we can do nothing on our own. It's all of God that we ever have success in this life and the life to come. It's all through Jesus Christ. He's done it all. Now notice in verses 28 through 30, this is simply telling us that all things are working together for good. Now, let's look at this closely now, a little bit closer. In verse 28 it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And I believe we see here, first of all, that Romans 8:28 is a statement of fact that we need to know and count on. And this wonderful truth cannot be claimed by everyone. It's only for them that love God. And this is the description of those who are true believers. And you can look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 and chapter 8 and verse 3 of 1 Corinthians. And you can read more about that. Now, we can give thanks for all things, but not because all things are good, but because our trust is in a sovereign God who works all things together for his glory and our good. He controls the good and the bad. God is omniscient. He knows everything. He is God. He knows what we're going through, and that doesn't mean that we shouldn't tell him and take our prayer request to him. That simply means that he knows what we're going through, and he has compassion on us. He wants to hear from us, and he wants us to let him know that we are depending solely and entirely upon him, not only for salvation, but to take care of us in this life that we're living now. Well, we can count on verse 28 because God foreknows. In other words, once again, he's omniscient. He foreknows those who are saved. And he predestinates or predetermines that those who are saved are to be a reflection. It doesn't mean that he's going to choose certain people to be saved and other people to be lost. It simply knows or says that he knows us. He knows those who are going to be saved. And he predestinates and he predetermines that those who are saved are to be a reflection of Jesus and thus resemble him. And this is seen, of course, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 and 30. And as we read on here, we see that it says that in verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." It doesn't say he predestinated him to be saved. It says that he predestinated individuals to be conformed to the image of his Son, save people to be conformed, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's just as if we've already been glorified. We're already with the Lord. Our future destiny is guaranteed, according to verse 29, to be conformed to the image of his Son. One day we'll be completely changed, and we will be like him in all ways. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." This is God speaking. "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." And then in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." No, God did not choose certain people to be saved and certain people to be lost. He has chosen the people who are saved to be made like his Son, to look like his Son, the image of his Son. Don't get confused. Study the Word of God. The Word of God will interpret itself if you'll study it and ask God to lead you through the Holy Spirit, asking him to let you know what the book, the Word, is saying. Now in Romans chapter 8 and verses 31 through 39, we'll be studying God's love toward his elect. And once again, the word predestinated, we need to understand that is not saying that God chooses certain individuals to be saved and others to be lost. But what about God's elect? And we're going to read about God's elect and study about God's elect the next time we gather our hearts together to study the Word of God. And let me remind you to have your Bible open. And I always encourage people as I teach to have the Bible opened, to follow along. Not only follow me and make sure that I'm reading the Word of God, but also anyone else who is claiming to be someone who is reading and studying the Word of God with you, make sure that they're using the Bible and not just what they think, but it's what God says. Ask Him to come into your heart today if you've never done so. This is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Look at our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to have, you know, look at Bible study helps, and you'll also be able to email me from that website. But you can also write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.